So as you all now gathered, we're going to look at 2 Peter for our words of exhortations, and this is under the general theme of diligence, a word that crops up a couple of places in the book. This word diligence is one that occurs reasonably frequently in today's society. It's an integral part of the majority of policies and guidelines that govern the day-to-day way in which we live and work. One definition of the word is diligence is a zealous and careful nature in one's actions and work. It's not just an enthusiasm for the work that's to be done, it's an enthusiasm for the work and for the quality of the work. As the definition I just gave said, it's not just the work in terms of earning the bread sense of the word, but it's in all our actions, in everything that we do. So in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, we read, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall." Each of us here have been called to a purpose, and we are the only ones who can directly affect the response to that calling, as this verse indicates. We all know well, however, that it's our environment that influences the way we think and the actions that we make. So verse 12 becomes particularly important in how we try and influence those around us. "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." Not being negligent is the same as being diligent. Peter is actually saying that he is going to diligently remind them of the hope that is available, even though it's well known already. We all have knowledge of the hope. There is no disputing that. Peter, however, is indicating that we still need to be continually reminded of it. It isn't that we're actually going to forget. We have the foundation. But that is the point. It is a foundation. And if you weaken the foundation, even slightly, then the whole building becomes unstable. A continual reinforcing of the foundation means that the building remains stable. It doesn't hurt us to continually hear the same things, as long as those things are good. We know well that a continual feeding of erroneous thinking will eat away at that which is right and true. If we're continually being fed the foundations, then the erroneous ideas can't creep in. We need, therefore, to be sharing the basics between each other in order to maintain that foundation. And it's far easier to be fed than it is to feed yourself. I'm not, of course, suggesting that we shouldn't feed ourselves, but it is important that we are fed by others as well. We need to continually remind one another of the hope that there is. The tunnel appears to be long and dark, but there is light at the end of it. And within that tunnel, each one of us is a small representation of the light at the end. And if we share that light with each other, then the light only gets brighter. The darkness all around threatens to extinguish our lights and make them dull and eventually burn out. It's important, therefore, that we don't neglect the basics just because we've heard them before. We're human, and we're great at excuses, but using the excuse of "we've heard it before" as a reason is actually just an excuse to be lazy. The foundation of all these things, then, is the Bible itself, and Peter continues later in this chapter to deal with the source of our faith. Verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." in these times, there are people who try and convince us that the Bible is in fact a group of cunningly devised fables. But there are many proofs that this just isn't the case. It's important to continue to remind ourselves of this too, because of that influence from the outside, which is contrary to the belief. And as we said earlier, if you pull the foundations out, it all falls down. But the question arises, what are we building on that foundation? Peter works through a progression of building. So let's go back to verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is afar off, is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So where are you up to? Where am I up to? Can we say that we are diligent in all these things? Are we building on that foundation, or are we just living on a level plane because that's the easiest? We've all started with faith, as in the beginning of verse 5. And we have to start with faith, because we can't believe in things we cannot see. The more, however, that you visualise things, the more they become real in your mind, and so it becomes easy to build on. In that way, the faith should start to influence us in the decisions that we make. In building on faith, we are to add virtue, and virtue can be expressed as the quality of doing what is right and avoiding what is wrong. At all choices in our lives, we need to consider the impact in terms of our faith. After all, if our faith has no influence on us, then where are we and why do we have that faith? Because it becomes meaningless. And as we continue to make the right choices, we need to take the time to learn why we're making those choices and to find out how to make the right choices in those situations where we don't immediately know what those right choices are. The Bible has the answers, and so we continue that diligent strengthening of the foundation. The knowledge we gain from these situations can only improve things in the future. The Bible talks in various places regarding temperance and not letting ourselves go to excess in the things that we do. We're told, particularly in Timothy, that the generation of the last days will be notable for its lack of self-control. But we know this, that in the last days grievous times will come, for we will become lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, unforgiving, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. If we think about chapter 2 of Peter, he goes through and illustrates a number of those things in quite explicit detail. The knowledge that we gain from our reading of scriptures should enable us to make the right decisions with regard to excessive behaviours. Being able to control oneself also means that patience is gained, because patience is effectively self-control of the natural human reaction to delays or incompetence. Our patience is particularly required as we look around us and wait for the return of our Lord. We don't know when it'll be, and we can often think that there's been a delay in its arrival. God is in control, and our ability to remain calm and unflappable while we wait should be strengthened because of that knowledge that we have. the next thing we're supposed to build on the foundation, is godliness. And godliness pertains to possessing the character of God. Of course, the attributes that we've just covered are part of the character of God, but there are more as well. Exodus 34 and verse 6. Yahweh, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. In reality, the attributes of God that we need to mimic are far more than these. We've got the pattern that we need to follow. The Bible is that guide, and the ministry of Jesus provided a living imitation of those qualities and characteristics. Jesus taught us how we should deal with those around us, and Paul extends this further in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, let's do what is good toward all men, and especially towards those who are of the household of faith. As we strive to manifest the characteristics of good, we need to be ministering to the needs of everyone else. Not just spiritually, as I referred to earlier, but also physically and emotionally, not only when we feel like it, but when we're given the opportunity. The progression that Peter is going through finishes with the commandment of Christ in John chapter 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. The perfecting of the imitation of God is love in all our actions, as this drives us to do the right thing and gives God the pleasure that he created us for. So how diligent are we at the moment in doing these things? Are we progressing along this path that Peter has instructed us to be diligent in? Let us always encourage each other to be diligent, to remember the concluding words of Peter in chapter 3. Verse 13, but according to his promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth in which dwells righteousness. Therefore, beloved, seeing you that you look for these things, be diligent to be found in peace, without blemish and blameless in his sight. Regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you. As also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things. In those are some things hard to be understood, which they which are ignorant and unsettled twist, as they also do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, beware lest, being carried away with the error of the wicked, you fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.